WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
It's been nearly 20 years since the last episode of the original Star Trek series was produced. Subsequent movies, reruns, and conventions may have eased the loss for some fans. Now Trekkie diehards have a reason to rejoice. A new series, Star Trek The Next Generation, is one of this fall's syndicated weekly TV shows. Our television critic David Bianculli has a review.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before.
That's right, Star Trek is back. What you just heard is the opening of the show, and it's different from the old Star Trek opening in three important respects. Number one, it tells us the Enterprise is on a continuing mission, not a five-year one. Number two, it changes the phrase "where no man has gone before" to "where no one has gone before." Number three, the words are spoken by a different voice. These may sound like inconsequential, nitpicky changes, and maybe they are in the global view of things. But Star Trek loyalists are going to be analyzing every episode of Star Trek The Next Generation with a fine-toothed phaser. The good news, the unexpectedly good news, is that this new Star Trek series holds up. More than holds up. It's a blast. The changes between Star Trek, which ran from 1966 to 1969, and The Next Generation are everywhere. It's set 78 years after the old Star Trek adventures, the Enterprise is brand new, and so is the cast. Because the new Enterprise can fly longer than 5 years without returning to base, it's now a floating city in space, which means there are children and spouses aboard. The change to "where no one has gone before" is only one indication of the show's non-sexist attitude. Women have positions of power on this new Enterprise, and there's even a Klingon on the bridge. And the most powerful position of all, the starship captain, is played by a distinguished older actor named Patrick Stewart. He's not only an infinitely better actor than William Shatner, but his character acts more logically as well. This captain doesn't risk his life by beaming down whenever there's an emergency on some hostile planet. He sends his first officer, played by Jonathan Frakes, who has what is essentially the Kirk role from the first series. He's also a much better actor than Shatner. The rest of the cast is terrific, too. Terrific at least by sci-fi TV standards. The two-hour telemovie pilot, Encounter at Farpoint, introduces them all nicely, and also introduces John DeLancey as Q, one of the all-time best Star Trek villains. Gene Roddenberry, who also created the original Star Trek show, hasn't forgotten what made it such a cult hit. His new series, like the old, blends moral messages with warm human, and sometimes inhuman, relationships. The most notable change is a good one. The special effects in The Next Generation are as convincing as the ones on the old show were tacky. Despite its current cult following, the original Star Trek lasted only 3 years on NBC and never drew more than 29% of the viewing audience. This new Star Trek is shown in syndication, not on any particular network, so it may have a hard time building and keeping an audience, too. But if later episodes match the quality of the two-hour pilot, The Next Generation deserves to be a hit. Star Trek isn't just back, it's better.
David Bianculli is television critic for The New York Post.